All right, welcome guys. We are going to get started. We finally have everything kind of rolling here. I'm pretty stoked at the number of people who came here, and I'll tell you what, Rebecca, and it's so good to see the Miller family here. So good to see you, Angela. There's a lot of people like that. I'm so happy to see Ed in Virginia. So stoked to see you guys. There's a lot of you guys I haven't seen for a while. Jonathan Alfson, it was like, this is like Christmas for me. I'm like, Jonathan Alfson's here. This is so exciting. I just want to give everybody big hugs. So this is a pretty cool spot, isn't it? I think this is a great pad to do this at. So am I a little too loud or is this okay? Okay, cool. So the way this is working right now, it's mean you don't have to put it right to your lips. You can put it just about here, just below your chin for whoever shares. So we are recording the audio and actually video as well for this right now because we still have a number of people who weren't able to be here today for various reasons. And so when people share or whatever things happens, at least give me the chance to turn the camera in your direction. Otherwise, if it's pointing this way, just come share right up here and you're good to go. It does look like maybe we won't get rained on. That would be fabulous. So, anyway, just so excited to see everybody. So we have a number of things here we're going to do. Did everybody get a sheet kind of showing the stuff we're going to cover, the shares and stuff? Does everybody have that? No? Okay. So, Jen, I didn't know if you wanted to have people raise their hands to be able to hand those out. I'm sure Tara or somebody could. At any rate, they can get them out whenever. It doesn't need to be immediately if you're not ready yet. But we just want to get things kicked off. So you ready? Yep, there's papers going to be back there. If you're not comfortable taking them, that's totally fine. You just want to make sure they're available for you there. So, just so great to see everybody. So, what we're going to do here is we're going to kick off with prayer. And I'm sure you all saw on your way in, the restrooms that are available are those porta-potties back that direction, straight that way. After we are done, feel free if you brought a trout rod or brought some stuff for crappie or whatever, the fishing is back there where you see the kids are at there. If you just, this side one, we don't fish on this side kind of vein, just back in this area right here and not so much back over here either. So anywhere from kind of the corner over here to the corner over here is open game for some fishing. And, there's no need for a license. There are trout. They stock it every so often with trout, and there are crappie and I think a couple other things, but those are the main ones. So really grateful to Andy Kiesecker and his wife for making this available to us. They have been super kind to let us use this, and more on that to come. So good to see you, Jonathan. Welcome. Yeah. Represent from the Van Schenk clan. When we do have shares come up, like I said, if you want to come up here and share, that's great. This mic can go anywhere in this region and it will record the audio. We're just going to try to get people on video as much as possible, even if they are far away, just to include the people who were not able to make it here. And we will pray that Nancy doesn't get lost. So anyway, there may have to be other people lost too. It was a little funny. So anyway, let's pray and open up here. Cain, I said we were going to pray. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to have this opportunity to be together in this beautiful place. God, we thank you for the beauty of your creation. Thank you for a cool breeze. We prefer it over the rain, and we're grateful. We're just grateful, even if it's raining or whatever, we're grateful to have this area to meet and to be able to socially distance, but see each other and hang out. And we do ask for more of this to happen this summer here as we look at kind of summer plans and what we're hoping to do. God, we are grateful. We are grateful for this opportunity. Lord, this has been a difficult season for so many. We ask, God, for your strength. I pray for myself and all of us here and all of us in our community that we would keep our eyes on you. It's so easy to get our eyes off of other things that just produce fear and anger or shame or all sorts of difficult emotions. And Lord, we ask, help us to keep our eyes on you, our ears open to you, and ask, what is it that you are asking us to do? Not what we would prefer, but what is it that you are asking us to do? So give us ears to hear and hearts willing to do what you speak. Thank you for this time. I pray you would unify this community throughout this summer in your mission, in the love and the work and the purpose of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it's his name, in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Matt and Tricia are going to share to begin with here. So give me 1 second and I'm going to...
Hello, everyone. We're just going to talk briefly about the Marriage Enrichment Ministry. And I think the first thing we're going to do is play a song. And Joe's queuing that up there. It has to do with marriage, but it also just has to do with our relationship with Christ. So you have the lyrics with you there. That's the song that we're going to play. It's called The Covenant. So it may be kind of hard to hear, but reading along, you'll kind of get the idea. So.
The covenant that we are living in, it's more than rings on hands, it's a yes to the unknown. And in seasons of doubt and when famine comes around, we go to the storehouse, to the one who is always faithful.
Breathe black love.
So that was just kind of an introduction there of just a new song, kind of really kind of focusing on marriage and our relationship with Christ and how that really, the marriage is to reflect that relationship between Christ and his bride. So with that, we're looking at starting a Bible study, or not really a Bible study, it's a marriage enrichment study, which is, it is Christ-centered, obviously. It's a study that was developed by Francis and Lisa Chan, and it's just it's kind of a, like, short videos and a book, and you go through and you, like, basically read through this the chapter in a week, and then we're thinking about, like, probably Tuesday or a Thursday, doing some kind of a Zoom type meeting or getting together in person if that is what we are doing at that time. Just doing that and kind of like going through some questions and just discussion about what we read throughout the week.
I'll finish. That's the doctor calling. That's why he has to go. So, like Matt said, it's a 7-week study, and we'll start in the fall. And Jen's going to send out a group text to everybody because we're going to see who would like to be involved, doing a survey to see who would like to be involved with that. And then you can let us know what days work for you and your phone number. Also, Matt was going to send out a weekly devotional starting, I think, this coming week or the following week, that it would just be on a Sunday or a Monday, and it's just like a short little devotional for married couples. And so if people want to receive that from him, we would need to get your phone number to text that to you. Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. And then we'll finalize pricing once we determine, getting back to the enrichment study in the fall. We'll, right now it's about, I think it's about $16 for the book and the study book, so it's two books. But the more you get, the cheaper it goes, so that's where it starts. But and we'll continue praying for all of you and the couples in the church, and would like to encourage couples to be in prayer for each other. So yeah, if there's any questions, let us know. And I think that's what we have for you today. Thanks.
A little bit of video for everybody who missed it to see just how badly they missed out. I'm just kidding. This is such a great crew. It's so good to see everybody. So super high tech here. There we go. Okay, so where's my, did I drop my little sheet? Okay. All right, so I'm going to share a little bit, just kind of a current state of where we're at as far as vision and all that. And I'm going to turn this down. Hold on. There we go. That's still good for everybody? Okay, good. I hate that feeling of, like, I can tell I'm just about to feedback if I'm in the wrong spot. I don't like that. Okay. So anyway, as far as where we are at, I think one of the big things that is needed for us in this time is to keep our eyes on Jesus and to let go of our own personal preferences and pursue unity in the identity and the mission of the church. You know, it's, I think one of the things I've been super excited about and blessed to see from people has been how there have been people who have given financially or helped serve in different ways, shown up at, you know, Zoom meetings, even though you don't prefer it and it's weird and, you know, some people don't like it or whatever. there's been a lot of people who have come out and done that kind of thing. And people have reached out to neighbors, looked for ways to help out with groups that are in need during this COVID season. And I think that same thing that has encouraged me during the season, I think one of the biggest things that has encouraged me has been the group of people who have increasingly come together and prayed and sought God for everything going on and looked at how they can, serve and help each other out. I think one of the big exhortations and challenges that we need is for people to let go of their own preferences and use whatever means they can to stay involved as a church, right? Hebrews talks about not forsaking the gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. And I think it's important to note that the COVID season does not look like it's going to be just here and gone. It looks like a long season, right? And it's already been, what's it been? We started, we changed meetings in March. So it's already been a full quarter, okay? And there's a very good chance that it will continue from here and be all the way through the summer. There could be various restrictions. And I think the big encouragement and exhortation that I have is this is not just time off of church. This is, we are still the church. Church is not a building. It is who we are. It's our very identity. And nothing good happens from acting out of the wrong identity, right? And so, so I do understand I have been between lots of different people talking about preferences. I don't prefer Zoom. I don't prefer online. I prefer in person. I don't want to meet and do streaming in person. I want to actually do real church. It's made me ask people, define real church. Would you please define that for me? What is real church? Real church is who we are as the people gathered because of Jesus Christ who died for us and let go of his personal preferences to the point of torture and death so that he could accomplish love. And so for us, that's how our identity, that's where our identity comes out of. It doesn't come out of personal preference. In fact, Jesus said, anyone who wants to come after me must let go of his own way and pick up his cross and follow me. So that means that for us to be believers, we have to let go of our own way, and that's going to feel like dying a little bit, and do what Jesus says. And Jesus called people to come to the point of at any length to follow the kingdom before anything else. I mean, he said crazy things like anybody who doesn't hate his father or mother, brother or wife or kids compared to me is not worthy of me. And Jesus never encouraged people to hate each other. His point was that unless you keep your eyes on me and me as the focus and the priority, you're missing the kingdom. Now, the numbers for church attendance, it's not like just Southside. Across the board, there are people who, are just kind of like, this is weird and I'm not into this. And I'm encouraging you right now. There's a lot of people who've told me I don't prefer something, or I don't prefer Zoom, or I don't prefer church online, or I don't prefer. And I just want to tell you, you're not alone. I didn't sign up to be an internet pastor. Okay? And I actually hate that. But it really doesn't matter in the end. What matters is what Jesus said and who Jesus is, who makes life for us possible. And so I think the big thing as far as state of moving forward, our health and our growth as a church is going to be directly connected to how much we die to our own preferences and put Jesus and seeking first the kingdom as the first priority. Okay? Now, I know that rhythms like praying together on Zoom, corporate prayer is just downright uncomfortable for the majority of people. So if you are one of those people who you're like, corporate prayer gatherings are weird for me, join the club. Okay? It's actually like a muscle. You actually have to exercise it for it to get less awkward. Okay? I know for me, if I was to go out and say, God, I'm not real comfortable with repentance. I'm not real comfortable with confession. And I can tell you right now, confession and repentance are some of the most uncomfortable and awkward things there are, right? Just like covenant, when we make a covenant in marriage, It's not until I'm done with you. It's till death do us part. And anything else is us exalting our own way above God. And I get that there are weird situations out there where it might be healthiest, you know, for some other thing. But the point is this, is that we make a covenant with God. When we are baptized, we are making a covenant with God. We are making a covenant with each other. Our relationship as a church is not a loose social agreement. It is a covenant made with God, which now binds us to each other, like it or not. However annoying we are to each other, or however bad Pastor Joe's preaching is, or however weird somebody is in the community, or however odd it is to get on Zoom or to get online or to socially distance and put on masks. You know, a lot of us, I've heard it said many times during this time, I won't come and gather together unless everyone wears masks. And then I've heard on the other side, I won't come gather together unless we cannot wear masks. And I understand, I have asthma, I have allergies, wearing masks during this season was challenging. I have a beard, the beard wearing people. I just want you to know, for all the people out there who are like, why can't you just wear a mask? You probably don't have a beard. It's very itchy, okay? That being said, is that more important than me loving my brother or sister who needs me to wear a mask to care about them and be considerate? So the point isn't any one of these issues. The point is, if we can let go of our own preferences, we can accomplish church. We can be the church if we let go of our own preferences. And whatever that looks like. And we have to compromise. We have to look at ways, I can wear masks around these people, or I can wear masks into these situations, or I can get online in these situations. Whatever it is, just saying, how can I compromise? Okay? And I do understand, too, I've been brought to my attention by several people that Zoom is not the most secure place, okay, online. And I just want to encourage you. I think China has better things to do than to spy on me talking about a prayer request for a job with another brother or sister, which is most of the sort of stuff that comes up on Zoom. So if China wants to take their sweet time and hack into that, by all means, maybe they'll hear the gospel. Praise Jesus. The Chinese need the gospel too. So hack away. Get in on our prayer meeting where you're probably going to get an earful of how Jesus is what you need. And we need to die to ourselves. Exactly. Jesus loves you, right? And so, anyway, I'm just saying, if we will just go back to the basics with Jesus, anyone who wants to come after me has to let go of his own way, pick up his cross, and follow me. Right now, I'm reading a book called Born Crucified. It's a really nice read. It's super, super encouraging, feel-good type Christian stuff. It's just like, you know, like chicken soup for the soul. Feels like gravy, right? No, it feels like salt on a wound. And the crazy thing is this. The more that I do this, and it's an everyday thing, people. We don't once die to ourselves. We don't once let go of our own way. That's why he says every day. One of the Gospels says every day you do this, right? The more that I do this, you know what's crazy? The more it opens the door when I let go of my own way and my own preference. It opens the door for me to love other people. It opens the door for me to love other people. And that's what I'm finding between different people in this community who are doing that. It's beautiful. And so I encourage you, more of that. That is the single greatest thing that is going to make a difference in our having a strong church community coming up from here. I can guarantee you there is no best method right now. Nobody knows what in the world is going on right now. And all the people who do change their mind within a week or two, okay? So I just want to encourage you, if you're looking for the expert on COVID-19 and all that, I'm not it. I've gotten together a couple times with a group of pastors from all around Corvallis and Albany, and you know what they're all saying? I have no idea. So when you ask them, what's next? I have no idea. No clue. Okay? And it's not a lack of spiritual vision. It's just that logistically, God seems to be allowing a storm and a fog into our world right now. And we got to trust, is he really bigger than that storm? Is he bigger than this epidemic? And then we have to ask this, and here's my thing. So many of us, and I'm one of them, believe me, have said, oh my word, Lord, I just want this to be over. And it's just, I want this to be over. I just want this to be over. I just want this to be over. And you know what? If God is continuing to allow it, then there must be a way through it. There must be a way through it. And in order to find a way through it, I think all of the ideas that we have about the way it should be have to be let go. Because none of us know how this should be. And I found that when I let go of how my wife should be, my marriage improves. And when I let go of how my kids should be, and I start taking them where they are and loving them where they're at, I improve as a parent. It just so turns out that the crucifixion spirituality of Christ is a powerful, powerful thing. Imagine that. The guy who told the sea what to do and it did it, you know? Imagine if we did what he said with our lives, you know? So I just encourage you, please let go of expectations of how it's supposed to be and all that, because we're all just trying our best. Believe me, I'm happy to hear solutions. I'm happy to hear ideas. Hey, here's an idea. Here's an idea. Great. I want to listen to those ideas. But as soon as we say, unless it's this way, I'm out, we're going to have to answer to Jesus someday for whether we came and said, you know, once coronavirus hit and I had to get online, do Zoom or get on this or do that or wear a mask or whatever, I was out. I mean, just imagine if Jesus was like, the nails? No, let's not do that. I'm just like, would Jesus have been willing to wear a mask? You know, I love, there's a part in this movie, 42. You guys ever seen that one? Jackie Robinson, right? Jackie Robinson, at one point, the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, remind me his name, honey. I don't know why I totally know his name, but I'm forgetting it. Owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who brought on Jackie Robinson, first black player in Major League Baseball. Oh, my brain. I totally know his name. Anyway, he was a Methodist. I just encourage you. There you go. Anyway, he's talking to one of the other owners on the phone, and one of them said, you know, I understand that you have Jackie Robinson on your team and he's a black player and stuff. He says, but he's going to have to sit out the game if he wants to come to Pittsburgh. And the owner of Pittsburgh was calling the owner of the Dodgers and telling him that. I totally know his name. I don't know why. I can't think of it. Anyway, and what his answer was, he says, do you think God likes baseball? And the Pittsburgh owner said, what in the world does that have to do with anything? And he says, because someday you're going to meet him. And when he asks you why you wouldn't allow the Dodgers to play, and you say because there's a black man playing on their team, I bet it's not going to be a very sufficient answer, right? And I think right now God is really moving us into a season of trying to get a much more eternal perspective. Have you noticed that in the sermons? A much more eternal perspective where we start to look at our money and our time and our stuff and go, what really matters in the end? Because guess what? We all know that 100% of us die. And if we believe the hope of Christ, then this is not the end. And that's both a very encouraging and hope-inspiring thing and a very sobering thing, because we are going to be called to account. And so all the stuff we've put our preferences above in our marriage, in our kids, in church and whatever, we're going to have to ask, did we choose love and choose trust in Christ, or did we choose our own self-preferences? So I think if we get that, I think if we let go of that, I think if we move into that together and start to look for the way through the Red Sea instead of around the Red Sea that is COVID-19 season, we're going to see some incredible stuff happen through this season. Okay? Speaking of, as far as stuff that I see the Lord doing, where I see God's power at work is I see God's power at work in smaller groups right now. A lot of the time, smaller groups is how we can meet during this season. Okay, and so I think that there's a very strong chance, there's a growing chance, depending on what happens logistically, that we are going to move into house churches of some sort, possibly even for Sunday mornings. Okay, and we are still trying to figure that out. I do know that I personally am exhausted because of all the work I've had to do on videos in the last few months. I'm very exhausted, and I do know that God is working in smaller groups, and I think that God is really moving us to be the church and everybody take a part. Everybody have a part. That when you come to a gathering, if that's going to be house church or if that's going to be outside, we are tentatively scheduled to meet starting a week from today at the Thompson Shelter in Avery Park. Okay, so if you came from Southtown on Crystal Lake Drive, just go through straight past the Lion Shelter, which is the first big shelter with the massive long Whole Oaks table. Okay, and you just go past that to the left of it if you're coming from Southtown, and past the first shelter, past that fireside, onto the last shelter, which is Thompson Shelter. And we're hopefully going to start meeting with this kind of configuration starting next week, and be able to have people just spread apart and bring their lawn chairs, and we're going to be able to do a corporate gathering that way. Even with that, I'm thinking to possibly make a small group portion of that where people would gather into chairs or something. The other thing that we're looking at is, because it is possible that the state of Oregon is going to come with some new regulations anytime now. So even though we have the permit and have the reservation at Thompson Shelter, Avery or the Corvallis Parks and Recs has told us we may have to shut it down at any moment. And so it's like, okay, cool. So that's that. And I can tell you right now, one of the next things we might look at doing is drive-in church for our corporate gatherings. People come in their cars. We all park together, and we have an FM transmitter that is arriving this week, and it will go out to people's. All you have to do is tune your FM radio in your car to the right station, and there you go. You've got your comfy car seats that you can use. We will have shade. We will have shade from the rain. You can run your AC if you'd like, or your heater if that floats your boat. You know. And so as much as possible, I would love people to be able to have their own preferences. Just when it gets in the way of love, it's like, okay, we've got to kill it now, you know? So anyway, drive-in church is another possibility. And what we might do is gather everybody into a parking lot in Corvallis, or possibly the church if we have enough room. Have everybody drive in, do that. Have a portion where we do a church stream that way. And then people go to house churches after that. You know, how crazy would it be to, like, give more than 60 or 75 minutes to church on a Sunday morning? Like, what does it mean for us to be the church? Maybe it means giving more time allotted to each other. Because it's kind of like, for some of us, having our time for our thing is an idol. And so just being the church and giving some time to challenge each other, to encourage each other, to listen to each other's heart, to lift up each other's needs, and do those sorts of things. And so we might be doing that. And if we can't do Thompson Shelter, and we'll see. I mean, there's probably a lot of reasons we could still do a drive-in church, but one way or the other, there's still a good chance that we are going to start up house churches and meet in people's, have people meet in their living rooms. There is risk with COVID-19 doing that, but what it does, and by the way, we are following the Oregon Health Authority for the faith liaison, what they have. They've given us various different principles and such, and they say that small group gatherings are encouraged, even though there is a little bit of spreading of contagion amongst those people. They say you're still limiting it to a much smaller group of people, and they say that's reasonable. Like outbreaks among a few people, the hospitals can handle and such. We still want to be careful with each other and not try to pass on contagion, but even the Oregon Health Authority thinks that's very reasonable, and I do not believe that the state of Oregon is discriminating in any way against churches, because the phase 2 requirements have been 50 people inside with social distancing, or 100 people outside with social distancing, unless you're a faith gathering, in which case you can do up to 250 people. I would not call that in any way, certainly not persecution. And so we are definitely not being mistreated by the government. But being the church of Christ is what we signed up for when we covenanted with Christ. It's what we signed up for when we give ourselves to Christ, when we are baptized, when we make our good confession, as the scriptures talk about, that I'm going to follow Jesus, right? So anyway, so that's a few things coming up. We still don't have total answers about all those things, because things are always changing, right? And we're still trying to kind of develop some of that, but we would love to hear feedback on any of that stuff. And I'm done with my share. I just want to encourage us, we are still the church. We still have a heart for missions, to see global impact, and I'm still developing more partnership with Joe Murray as they go to the people of Aurangabad, the Sheikh people of Aurangabad, an unreached people group there of 86 million people in India that I continue to want to help partner in reaching. We still have a heart to see discipleship happen and confess our sin to each other, do the one another's, love each other, encourage each other, speak the word of Christ to each other, give counsel to each other, listen to each other, pray for each other, help with physical needs, help with money, help with moving, help with whatever. That is what it is to be the people of God, right? To seek Jesus together first and then to take care of each other in love and then reach out to the lost. So we still have a heart to do that. We are still wanting to do that. I've had a cool opportunity to connect with some Mexican people in this process. Got a call at the church out of the blue. And Julian Campos and his family, been connecting with them. They just moved from Bakersfield. And some of them are wanting to seek Jesus, know the scriptures more. And so we've been reaching out to them. And so we still have a heart to do those things. So also offering opportunity. You guys notice we've been talking all about money, right? We've been talking about treasure. And so we are going to take a big offering here in the next couple weeks. If I can just finish this darn series up. It's just powerful, powerful stuff. If you have missed parts of the series, I'm just going to straight up challenge you to go listen to every one of them all the way through. It's like, Joe, you really take your words really seriously. I ripped it all from Randy Alcorn. Okay, so I think his stuff is so powerful and so countercultural and so empowering. I think it's so rich with God's heart. I challenge every one of you to go watch every one of them. Besides that, I took a lot of time to make it super accessible. So anyway, it is powerful stuff. So we're going to have an offering opportunity. I encourage you, go to the people in your household and talk about a number of what God will put on your heart to give sacrificially. This is not give like, you know, a little bit or what's comfortable. Give till it hurts some. And we're going to talk about, we have ideas giving it to the Southside Youth Outreach, possibly giving it to Love Inc. of Benton County, possibly giving it to our partner Northside, who has been church planting in the middle of this chaos. Can you imagine that? What a challenging time to plant a church, right? Thinking about giving it to possibly the work with the unreached, Joe Murray and their family and the missions work there amongst the Sheikh people of Aurangabad. There's a variety of things we're thinking about. And if you have thoughts and people that are really on your heart, let us know. We would love to hear that. And so there's going to be an offering coming up here soon. So stay posted and be praying about what your part would be in that. So Family Camp is happening August 28th to 30th. And we got canceled. It was canceled. At Schwartz Park, and so they canceled all groups of more than eight, and it was like, we're going to have more than eight. So guess what? We got this place. What do you guys think? This is where Family Camp's going to be. Woo-woo! So super stoked. It is beautiful here, and I think this is going to be a great spot. Obviously, plenty of space. They keep this place like a park, you know? So really, really beautiful. If you would like to come to Family Camp, there's going to be lots of opportunity. There's going to be plenty of social distancing available. We planned the later date because I don't know if, you know, our good friend Matt Allard may possibly be a little bit more healed by the 28th. That was probably my biggest deciding factor. Like, we had pretty much an even vote. So it's like, let's do the 28th. More time to heal. Three more weeks. Right? So we'll see. Keep praying for Matt. By the way, Matt Allard has an infection in his shoulder and it's super hot and red right now. So just, you guys going to go? Hey, we totally understand. Let's pray for them before you guys leave, okay? Lord, we want to lift up Matt and Tricia. We are so grateful for them in this community. I thank you, Lord, for the way that they have worked so hard and shown such a great example to the rest of us of the love of Christ by socially distancing and quarantining so carefully when they miss people so much for the sake of Valerie and keeping her safe, who Tricia cares for, that's very elderly. Lord, we are grateful for their example. We're grateful for their being on Zoom and doing whatever it takes to be connecting to people as much as possible. We pray, God, that you'd strengthen and bless them. We pray especially for your safety for Valerie and for the Allards, Lord, in their caring for. And I pray for Matt Allard for his shoulder, that you would bring healing in Jesus Christ's name. Would you heal it quickly? Heal this infection. And we pray, God, for a speedy recovery and your comfort and the ability to sleep in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. Thanks for showing up and sharing. Okay, so that's Family Camp, August 28th to 30th. That's Friday night through Sunday noon-ish. Okay, and so next is going to be Jennifer Branson is going to share about church finances. You want me to disinfect the mic first? So come on up when you can.
Okie dokie. So church finances. There's two sheets of paper that you should have. One is a summary and one has one's titled Simplified Report. And I have a few copies of the full report if anybody wants it. Just see me afterwards. Oh. Closer. I have a very big personal bubble, so a mic in my bubble is in my bubble. So the simplified report sheet, I'll let you look at that, and I'll just go over the summary. So first off, income. The board, church board, has revised, is this good? Okay. The church board has revised their budget earlier this month, and through that we forecasted that less tithes will come in as a result of COVID. And consequently, tithes dropped $5,306 within the last 3 months. However, an extra $6,223 has come in from people who formerly attended Southside, as well as the Hive Church in Corvallis. Tithes has dropped, but funds from outside supporters has gone up. God has filled in what was lacking, so that's a huge praise report. And also, thank you guys for continuing to support the work at Southside, because it is a difficult time. Right now, we are, for income, $3,875 above what we've budgeted to receive 6 months into this year. Expenses. So we're attempting to spend wisely, but also invest wisely in kingdom work during the season. And the church and the youth outreach have a financial partnership, and there's been some questions about what this looks like. So to date, the YO pays 70% of utilities, contracts for the building, the mortgage. So the youth outreach pays 70% of all those expenses, and the church pays 30%, because the youth outreach uses the building more than the church does. So that's why there's a 70-30 split. The utility bills are in the church's name because the church has client history with these organizations and vendors. And what that does is it allows a estimated charge for utilities instead of actual. So say for instance, when the cold season comes in and the electricity bill goes way up, we're not paying that large amount. We are paying an average amount each month. And so that's the benefit of having those accounts in the church's name. If the YO and the church would split, then we would lose that benefit. The building mortgage is in the youth outreach's name, and the church is a co-signer should they default. And each organization has their own liability insurance policy. And I just wanted to bring some clarification about the relationship between the YO and the church. And any questions? It's good. In summary, Tithing has decreased over the last 3 months, most likely due to COVID. The board revised the church's budget earlier this month, and we're expecting to end our year $3,400 in the red the end of December. So this equates to about $283 monthly in loss of income. But currently, we have over $27,000 in the bank, with over $10,000 of that set aside in a savings account. So we are able to take that hit. It's not ideal, but the church is able to do that for this year. And as of right now, the church is $5,460 in the black. So we're doing a lot better than anticipated. So praise the Lord. And yeah, so God is taking care of us. So praise the Lord. Yeah, that's finances. Question? Yes. Yeah, so we are exercising our faith in that God is going to take care of us, and with financial, legal responsibilities, we're predicting that this is a option, or this is a possible outcome, I guess, of this COVID situation, that financially it's having an impact on the church. And just having that in the books, we realize that this might be, what's the word? Not opportunity. That this could happen. We are trying to be responsible, seeing that this could happen, and we're wanting to prepare for it and realize that this could be a responsibility that we need to take on, being in the red. But God's taking care of us so far, so I'm wanting to see Him continue all the way through. Please, Lord, that'd be awesome. Yep. So... yeah, this is, as of Thursday when I was working on this, this is what the books say. And God is clearly moving through it. Yeah, and to Jonathan's point, we're expecting to be down here, but currently we're up here. And there is a large gap there, so... yeah. Yes, question. Yeah.
They make transfers into our account for their portion.
Yep. Okie dokie.
All right. Thanks, Jen. Yep. Thank you so much, Jen. Okay. So a couple things. So, Virginia, really quick, what were you saying there? I wanted to give you the chance to speak.
Why, if we're exercising by faith, we're negatively expecting to be in the hole at the end of the year? That's what faith, I see faith as a positive thing,
yeah,
not as a negative thing.
Right, so
my expectation is God's going to supply our needs. So, we already have.
So are you trying to say, why are we projecting decreased tithes? Because you do the books like a businessman and you pray like Whitfield. And what I mean by that is this, is that I still want our forecasting numbers to just show, they're showing what they're showing. Those things are just, that's like doing math. You just do the math. but we're praying for greater things. And in reality, what she's saying is that tithes are down significantly. And today's sermon was an uncomfortable one. It was about tithes. I encourage you to go listen to it. If you think that what I taught was unbiblical, then great, bring that up with me. I'd be happy to talk with you about it, okay? And so it took a lot of courage for me to say it because I've historically just not taught on tithe. So I'm having to repent from that because in reality, I think there are some challenges there. And if you want to ask and be like, well, the tithe wasn't in the New Testament, blah, 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 that's all handled in the sermon video. Okay. So go for it there. There was actual research done in the scriptures. Thanks, honey. Little camera woman here. I wish it was on you. It'd look way better. Okay. So anyway, come on, guys. That's like every day in our house. Okay. This is a, yep. Yeah, we can Photoshop me. Let's just put it on you, honey. So anyway, so I'm just saying this. I would like to pray for greater tithes. And honestly, the other thing about it is this, is that I understand people have lost work during this time. You know, people have lost work. And I can tell you right now that Jen and I have not taken even cost of living increases during this time. And I'm very grateful to have not taken a big pay cut. Because there are a lot of people in our society who are taking pay cuts of 10, 25, 50% or losing their job. And so I'm very grateful to still have a job. And I may have taught on tithe and challenged people today with it. I have no intention of taking a pay increase if things go up in the next couple months, okay? I will not be lobbying for that. At the same time, it's not fully my decision because I don't make all the decisions about finances. We have a board for a reason. So Pastor Joe doesn't just go in there and be like, we're going to spend all this money now. It's a board. The board decides on if we're going to do big expenditures. Okay. And so if you ever want to look into our finances, the financial team is Jeff Garver. Jennifer Branson heads it up. Sandy Beals. And by the way, Sandy has worked and done tons and tons of bookkeeping volunteer during this time. We are so grateful, Sandy. Thank you. I don't mean to embarrass you. I'm just very grateful. Okay. So tremendous amount of work she has done and she has saved us a lot of money. This is the way that we are still in the black. The way we're still in the black is this. Don't spend money. And number two, God has been gracious to provide outside people to be adding more money to take up what's been going down, decreasing in tithe. But I do encourage you, be full of faith with what you do with the money. And we're going to look at kind of what we're going to do with this offering. But I'm excited about that. So any other questions about finances? Full reports are available here. You can look at every account, every line item, kind of where the money's been going, how it's been spent. All of our books, there's literally any penny that we have spent at Southside, anybody can see. There is, our books are completely open. So anybody who wants to come and see, we will print you out a full report of anything you want from our, we'll give you spreadsheets and you can look at all of it and then ask why money's been spent by some. We're happy to do that. So if we were spending like crazy, we would not be in the black right now. So, and I will not say who, but there was also very generously provided a brand new MacBook Pro media computer for the video work that we've been doing. And that was somebody in our community. Very, very generous. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That has been an incredible gift. Big, come on. Yeah, we're super stoked about that. That has been a blessing. Saved me time yesterday too. It's just like this thing just cooks. I love it. So anyway, okay. So anything else? Finances good. No more questions. Can move on to the next thing. Okay. Let me get this show on the road. Oh, I keep dropping my thing. What's next on the agenda? Is it ministry teams? Okay. Oh, yes. So we're trying to get into a rhythm. We are trying to get into rhythm, the leadership and myself, where during the summertime, I will take between 4 to 6 weeks to be off of the pulpit. I take my 2-week vacation in the summer, and so part of that would happen in that 4 to 6 week period, and take 4 to 6 weeks off of the pulpit, hopefully about 4 weeks off of various other things that will enable me to have a bit more time for, first of all, taking my 2-week vacation, second, doing a bit of soul work, third, doing a bit of work around the house, and fourth, doing some vision work, reading, prayer, and so on about kind of next steps for the church and stuff, just giving me a bit more space to do some other things. And so We're trying to see if that can happen this summer, but because of COVID, I understand it's pretty odd. Obviously, we want to at least take vacation and stuff, but I'm just letting people know that that's coming up, and we're trying to make that happen. And I would appreciate that. It's just been a lot of extra hours doing all the video stuff, honestly. And so hopefully the goal is that moving forward from here, as we look at doing church in person or drive-in church or whatever, that we can get people doing some live things and get people setting things up in such a way that it can happen whether I'm there or not, you know. And it would be awesome, too, if we could set it up to some degree live where Pastor Ron feels like he can come and do some sermons again and other stuff. The recording I did last night, we realized there was so much there, it could be three sermons. So we just, did everybody appreciate how short the one was today? Did you notice that was only 20 minutes? So we were an hour today, including our 5-minute countdown, our intro and outro announcements, the sermon, and a 15-minute discussion time and music. We were under an hour. So anyway, we were a lot shorter today. So anyway, trying to get done with the sermon series and do it well, because it's just, I think it's real powerful stuff. So I've already talked about Sunday services at Avery Parks Thompson Shelter. Anybody got any questions about my annual vision and projects break, or about Sunday service at Avery Park Thompson? Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're thinking 10 o'clock. I guess we'll just survey people. Would anybody like to do it earlier, like 9:30? Anybody like to do 9? Just so you know, our reservation is from 8 in the morning until noon. And so whatever time we do it, like, you have to be done at noon. And the hope was to have the shelter long enough that if people want to bring their picnic lunch or whatever and eat it there, they're free to do that. And so just letting you know there. I guess I'll just do this. Yeah, got a question? Yeah, where would the location for drive-in church be? I think it depends on if we can fit all the cars into the church parking lot, because the church parking lot, probably not. Okay, yeah, so a lot of people think we could not fit it there. Okay, so we will look for another location for drive-in church, and all we need is an open area. If we get a small lunchbox generator, we can literally do it anywhere. We can find an open field out in the country and do it there, even if there's no power. That's all we need, is a lunchbox generator, and all the other equipment can be mobile. So I guess I just want to ask, first of all, who, hands up if you'd prefer 9:30 a.m. Any hands for 9:30 a.m.? A no, not even a, you, all you have to do is no hand. I love how just people walk, love that. Okay, who would like to do 10 a.m.? Okay, people like 10. Yay. All right. Now that was very clearly the majority, so I won't even ask about other times. Okay, so we'll be doing it at 10 a.m. Any other questions about doing church, the annual break for me or the church? Yeah. Yeah, do any of you guys have any big open areas that could work? Because we could probably afford, as the church, to buy a little generator if we need to. Anybody have any spots? I do know that it's like, we can start calling around. I mean, honestly, it could work at a fairground parking area. It could work at a field. It could work at the NASDOM parking lot, if they'll let us. Or maybe West Side, what they used to call West Side Christ Church, might be able to do it there in their parking lot. I mean, there's a lot of parking lots. Yeah. Back of Adair Park? Yeah, that's a good thought. Back of Adair Park? Yeah, very good. That's a great thought. Thank you. We'll put that in there and give them a ring. Absolutely. Yeah, I guess I'll just ask this. Who, first of all, who feels like, hey, I'm going to come and be committed, actually, you know, show up as the church to gathering together, not forsaking that, if we were to do Thompson Shelter? Who is like, I could do that? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, who feels like they could not do Thompson Shelter, Avery Park? Anybody feel like they could not do it? Because some hands were not, I couldn't tell how high they were. Okay, so pretty much everybody feels like they could. Who here feels like you could participate in drive-in church for corporate gatherings? I get that it's not very great for conversation stuff. It'd just be for the corporate piece and then go to your home groups. Okay, cool. So that's, does anybody not feel like drive-in church would work for you? You feel like it wouldn't work for you? Oh, because of the baby? Okay. Keep in mind the drive-in church option, if we have enough space, it is possible if you want to bring a little covering, a little tent, a little canopy, a little something. If we have enough space, you can set up a little canopy next to your rig and like sit there with baby or do whatever. Like there's the possibility of getting a little bit out. Like it doesn't mean you have to stay in your car. It just means that your car furnishes the sound system. It just means that your FM radio puts whatever we're putting across in through that. Does that make sense? So it doesn't mean you must stay in your car, doors locked, windows up. I'm actually thinking we can have windows down as much as possible. We can open doors as much as possible and let it be a somewhat open environment. But if people need to socially distance, sure, close your car up, put your windows up, whatever. Like it gives you the option. Okay. And if we get rained on, self-explanatory. So yes. Absolutely. If we do drive-in church, it's going to be like go tailgate with it, you know? Yeah. So how many people did I see? How many people are like the idea of tailgate church? We'll call it that instead of drive-in church. Okay. Tailgate church. Yeah. And maybe we'll just bill it as that. Like, hey, if you want to come tailgate for church, come. We're going to tell you about Jesus and there may be some wings on the grill, you know? So anyway, okay. I think that that gives us an idea that there, I guess who would, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Oh, great point to bring up. So it would be fantastic to start reintroducing communion. We have, that is one thing that I will take as absolute criticism, like that is reasonable. We have not stopped and thought enough about how to do communion as a church. So I'm just going to take that and say I don't have a lot of answers, but I think we're going to start doing communion again. And I think that if we could get some people to help like put it together. Yeah, there are challenges with communion, obviously the sharing of cup and all that kind of stuff, but there are communion setups that you can buy for somewhat exorbitant amounts of money that are all like self-packaged and all that stuff. And I'm just cheap. And so I'm just like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, but anyway, we could totally do that. Yeah, if exactly. Like, I think if nothing else, we could just have people bring their own communion supplies and we could take communion together. Because I think, absolutely right, that is an essential of the church gathering together. Do this in remembrance of me as much as you gather. So it's like, we need to get that. Thank you for bringing that up. I take that. Yeah. Tailgating with wine. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to watch if there's tailgating. You know, there's usually alcohol with tailgating, so it's nothing new. but yeah, that's funny. Thank you, Cain. Cain, there will be no brother killing, though. Sorry. So, okay. Yeah. It's been a while since I've gotten to throw one at him, you know? So, yes. Go ahead. Van Shanks. When am I taking my 2 weeks? I have not been able to plan vacation time. Jen and I have not yet because we keep being in transition and we're just trying our best to nail things down and find out, okay, this is, people will actually allow us to meet and not cancel it on us. And it just doesn't seem to work to do it at the church right now because there's people who are like, I won't come together unless we have no masks. And then other people are like, I won't come together unless we all wear masks. And then they come together and say, why was I in a separate room from people? Because you wanted masks and other people didn't want masks. And so I just don't feel a lot of, it just doesn't seem to work very well in our tiny little building. This is not really very corporate anyway. I think it's better to just meet in homes, and definitely drive-in church is better than meeting at the church at this point. And as much support as I see for that, and guess what? That FM transmitter unit that makes that whole thing basically possible was like $130. It was like, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, why have we not purchased one of these? So I got one ordered immediately. So we have one coming right away. And then, and it's cool, like that FM transmitter unit, like literally you could play it and just about this entire property, anybody in a car would be able to tune in to their FM radio, or if you just bring a little portable FM radio, it would broadcast to pretty much just about this entire open area here. So it's a pretty decent sized area that it broadcasts to. And so, and doesn't take a terrible amount of power. So a little lunchbox generator would get her done. So, yep, get her done. Absolutely. So, yes, did we answer the question? When am I taking my break? We don't know. So please pray that that gets set up, because I really badly want to get that done. Just like other people, I'm sure, want vacation. I'm just super exhausted. So that would be really good. So hopefully we'll get that. And the biggest way you can make that possible is deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Jesus, and communicate and get online or Zoom or whatever when we have meetings like that, because this is hard to do sometimes. We have to, you know, schedule it ahead and do all that. And number three, volunteer. When there's an opportunity to volunteer, volunteer. And that's going to make it possible for Jen and I to, you know, step out for a couple few weeks or something. So anyway, that's stuff. Cool. Any other questions? This is great. We want everybody involved that wants to be. Talk, be angry, be nice, say things, whatever. Swing in a swing, if you're Joe Ivers with Timothy. Isn't this great? People are like, this is actually a better sanctuary, I think. And I'm like, I would 100% agree. I love the space. So I would just ask this. Let me ask this really quick. Who would prefer the tailgate drive-in option over the Thompson shelter? Who would prefer that? Like, how many hands you'd prefer that? One. Okay, keep them up super high, guys. I got to see them. Who would prefer drive-in option? One, two, three, four, five. Question. Yes, six, seven, eight, nine. Who would prefer Thompson shelter, open park kind of thing? Who would prefer that? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, I thought you guys already raised your hand. Did you raise your hand last time?
No, we raised our hand for Thompson.
Okay, so you'd prefer in person. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, how many people it doesn't matter? Oh, that's quite a few. How many people you would do either? Absolutely. 100% you will do either. Okay, so that's most people. Okay. That's encouraging. It makes less pressure. Thank you. Okay. Very good. Guys, way to just be flexible. Like, that's super, super awesome. Yes, thank you. Love it. You can all tell I am like, flexible people. I love it. Okay, awesome. Flexible and actually showing up. It's fantastic. Okay, so, yeah. Tailgated Thompson Shelter. And that's a possibility. There's quite a few areas for cars there, and I don't think they can stop us from parking there. So, so... Right, but we've already got it reserved. The only thing that would... So if anybody gets to use the Thompson shelter, it'll be us. It's a question of whether they'll shut it down for any reservations. So, but we already have the permit in hand for the reservations for most of the dates of the Sundays of July and August. So we're just not sure if they're going to cancel them because of any new regulations coming out by State of Oregon. Right. So I think if we just got a generator, we could still do that area. Yep. There may be even more ideal areas still, but that being said, I think Jen this week is going to start getting on the phone and calling all sorts of places that have space for drive-in. That's going to happen. Yeah. Because honestly, doing drive-in does give us a ton more options. It really, really does. So, yeah. Yeah, if it's cut. It's a good question. Yeah. And you guys, like, what you can do is you can go into the contact form, go to southsacrifice.org. There's a contact form at the bottom, and just put your name. Like, if you get a spot there, you can either text me or email me or Jen, or you can just put a contact form at southsacrifice.org at the bottom of the page. If you have a spot that you're like, hey, here's a spot, this might work really well, then send a contact form, send it in to us, okay? We would love to have those ideas put in there so that we can kind of find the option that works best. And I can see that there's a few people with babies who it's like, yeah, being stuck in the car is pretty rough. Does that sound right? Yeah. So we're going to work on an area that has at least enough space to where you could kind of spread out and do whatever you're going to do that way and not be totally stuck inside your car. Sound good? Okay, cool. Awesome. We love you guys. Okay. So, ministry team shares. Jen, prayer. Go team.
We are in the process of finding out, or maybe it's finished. I don't know. We've reached out to the families with children. I'm speaking for Maddie and myself for nursery and Sunday school. We haven't had a huge response of needing childcare, but we do probably have up to 3, maybe 5, if we hear back from more families. An issue we do have, though, is that a lot of our past volunteers are maybe fall in that older, high-risk category and will not be able to help us in providing childcare. So if you are willing to watch up to 3 children, probably just 3 children, maybe 5 children, ages like 2, well, our youngest is 18 months, and then the oldest would probably only be first grade, about 6 or 7 years old. That'd be great if you're willing. Let me know, and then we'll decide if we can make that work for the few people who would be more able to come if their children are being cared for. So if we're at the park, then it would just be hanging out with those few children somewhere on some play equipment somewhere or something. You wouldn't need to plan a lesson or anything, most likely just entertain kiddos for just a little bit, so that their parents can focus on Jesus. So if you're willing, let me know or get a hold of someone to let me know. So that's all.
Thanks, Emily. Woo! Thanks, Emily and Maddie. Awesome. One thing I forgot, by the way, about family camp, I needed to ask for this. Who would be willing to be family camp team as far as putting together and coordinating family camp? You now see what your blank canvas is to work with. Here it is. You now have a great idea of what's possible because we've got power fed right here. There's water right over there and right there. So we have water lines available. You can see some of the picnic tables. Some of it is shaded. Some of it is not. There's fishing availability. There's lots of open flat space. There are restrooms. You now see what you have available. So I need a show of hands. Who would like to be on the family camp planning team? It's just a camp out, guys, just so you know. So all you have to do is just help facilitate a camp out. That's all. And just so you know, we do have to discuss like food and that kind of stuff. It'll quite possibly be people bringing their own food and all that, but that does add challenges to do that too. So whatever the case is, you're just there to help figure it out. So who would like to be on that team? Hands up. Go. All right. Amanda, Jonathan. Fantastic. Amanda, Jonathan, are you pointing? Oh, Emily, are you pointing at somebody else? Okay. So Emily, Van Shanks, both of the Valingas, fantastic. Okay, so I think we have Valingas, Van Shanks, Adkins, Alfson. Yeah, and I was confusing with Hank, but that's, you know, so there you go. We have a team. Woo! Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so next, let's have Hank share for grounds and maintenance.
Oh, maintenance. And you. Your vision for family camp.
No.
Can you hold that one? Oh, yeah, don't mind if I do.
I guess I'm not, I don't know, do I need to stand? I don't know, I'll stand. For grounds and facilities, I don't know where to hold this. It's been a little weird to figure out like how much time and effort you put in when nobody's using the building. But that being said, that is true. There has been a mouse problem. I do think it's resolved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a different story. Yeah. Praise for that, I guess. Yeah, but we do want to continue to be good stewards of the building that God has given us, and also just, you know, be a good neighbor that takes care of their property and those kinds of things. So I guess really my only share is I'm hopeful for later in the summer to work on some kind of landscaping type projects and some other things, so that the building looks nice and so that it's ready for whenever we are able to meet, whenever that may be. And so I'd ask that you guys keep your ears open for potential opportunities to help out, try and figure out like a socially distanced work day, whatever that means. Just be grateful to have y'all's help whenever that arises. If you have ideas of projects or things you want to do, please let me know. I'm sure Tara has like a whole list in her head of things she wants to get done. Joe's like, yeah, this is my house too. That's what happens at your house. Just But that's kind of it for me. Just please keep an ear out for chances to help. And yeah, if you have any things that you'd really like to see done, let me know.
Yeah. Okay, is the spirit of Joanna Gaines available to speak anything? Or I'm just kidding. Okay. I know. She's so cute. Okay. All right. And
Jen? For prayer ministry, I just wanted to put a little plug for for the 6:30 a.m. Monday through Friday times. I found it to be really helpful in a number of ways, and one way is just that I have to get up at a consistent time every day, and it's a rock in my schedule. Nothing's moving that time. Everything else is moving, but that time is not. So I know it's happening, and I'm able to schedule things after that, like go for a run right after. So it's helping me to be physically healthy, and it's helping me to be spiritually healthy, and it's also helping me to be relationally healthy, because the people that have been coming to those times are just members of our body. And there's also one guy, Ben, who's not a member of our body, who's been joining us consistently, so that's been really cool. It's like, hey, Ben, you live in Portland somewhere, I don't know, but it's good to see you. Just being able to share the needs on my heart and to hear the needs of their hearts, just being relational in that way. There was another thing, and I forgot what I was going to say about that. But, yeah, I just want to encourage you all. I know 6:30 a.m. is early, but for me, it's been totally worth it. Oh, the other thing was community. I've just experienced a great amount of community in those times, and just seeing those people. 6:30 every morning, and we're struggling together that early. So it's been nice having that connection with people on that time. And the prayer looks like from 6:30 to about 6:40, 6:45, we were just talking and catching up with one another. And then there's one or two worship songs that we will listen to together, and this is all on Zoom. And during worship, you can mute yourself and turn the video off so nobody's watching you, like, getting your worship on. And then from about 7:05 to 7:30, we'll pray together. So just want to give you that encouragement.
All right. Thank you. I think we may have missed some of the video earlier, but we have audio, so I'm like, just put some photos in there. Okay. Any other, I think that's everything for our agenda, right?
Individual shares.
Oh, yeah, individual shares. Who would like to share? Just community. Just share whatever's on your heart.
Actually, as part of the ministry team leader shares, Jen, you asked me to prepare something like a week ago, and I thought about it for 20 minutes and forgot, so my apologies.
Yeah.
But
logistics
obviously is in a weird position because we're supposed to set up church on Sunday mornings, and unless you want the logistics team coming and moving your furniture, that hasn't really been able to happen. So I think as some of the stuff we've talked about gets put more into practice, like getting to do the drive-in stuff or the Thompson shelter, I'm eager to learn about ways the logistics team can help. So any of you who are on the logistics team, just keep your ears open. I'm going to be trying to contact you as I learn information about how we can help serve the church in that way. The logistics team could just use prayer for having volunteers and having options to help, because we're eager to get back to serving the church. So.
Woo. Thank you, sir. Yeah, this is going to be a really huge time for the logistics team to step up once we get to drive-ins, setting up all that drive-in equipment, like this kind of stuff, and the worship team as well. So thank you so much, Mason. We're super stoked to have you back in there. And also, I just want to call out Ruthie. As soon as she was able to get back in there and start helping, she just jumped in there and started serving again, leading worship for Sunday mornings. I'll tell you right now, I just want to give her an encouragement. It is weird recording yourself every week and on video too. Is it odd? It's odd. She's looking forward to not doing that anymore, and that's completely reasonable. So anyway, I just wanted to give her and the worship team a big round of applause. The Van Shanks, Hank, Ruthie, and Aaron Bruntlett, you guys have all served. Thank you so much. Woo! And Rochelle, absolutely. Rochelle, I can't wait to sing with you again. I love it. Okay. All right. So her voice is so wonderful. I love it. All right. Okay. Who else? Who else like to share? Community shares. Oh, I'll get the disinfectant. There. Okay. I can disinfect the mic before you take it if you're worried about that. Anybody want to share anything, encourage the community, ask a question? You got the floor. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we do have a new, there's been a new book of world records for Southside, youngest part of the worship team, in the less than 6 months category. Being Elisha, he's truly a prophet in training. I know, so cute.
Hey, take a bye home. Take a bye home, really.
There you go. Community shares. Take a pie home. Is there one thing, if there's one thing that we all do well in quarantine, it's eat, right?
I want to congratulate Kane and Rochelle and Ruthie and Mason. And there was one other couple.
Maddie and Simon.
Maddie and Simon on their marriages and engagement. So,
yes.
Congratulations.
Woo! Way to put a ring on it, guys. Great work. Beyonce would be proud. Okay. Who? So Kane and Rochelle got married?
Oh, really?
Yeah. There were reasons. And they got married and they checked it. I just want to encourage everybody. They did not elope in Las Vegas. They got counsel from the pastors and elders and pre-marriage engagement counseling. They did it all right, and so walked through a process. It was really on the up and up, and so did Maddie and Simon. What's that? No Zoom marriages, but it was small gatherings.
The Zoom marriage
was
after Vegas.
Right, the Zoom marriage was after. I think they're all still hoping to do some kind of a reception, but Mason and Ruthie are going to get married in the fall. So, yep, end of summer. Yeah. What's that? Maddie and Simon got married. So Maddie and Simon are now Maddie and Simon Gast, and we have Kane and Rochelle Bauer. So, very exciting. Woo!
They're not sitting together. They're married. They don't have to social distance.
They social distance still in their marriage. We encourage them to make sure they socially distance their marriage. They have separate rooms, separate beds. What they do is they kiss an object, disinfect, and the other one kisses it. That's how they kiss. It's all really sanitary. It's good. Jonathan's trying to break them up. Oh my word! I know. I'm like this Southside. The Southside soap opera has begun. I'm just kidding. That's funny. Anybody else? I have disinfectant. Don't be afraid of the mic. And what? Yes. Yeah, we're so glad to see Rebecca here. Oh, my goodness. We are so glad to have you here. We don't want to put you on the spot, but we are super stoked to see you both. So.
My husband and I have social distance.
Oh, good. That's true. Angela has social distance better than anybody from her spouse, being separate by, what, 2,000 miles? Yeah, 2,000 miles. That's, there have not yet been any cases that have been able to travel that far yet. So it's like coronavirus is jumping out of the middle of the ocean and infecting whales. Just kidding. Sorry. Okay. Cool, cool. Anybody else? Any shares? Awesome. Shall we close and let kids fish and do whatever? You guys are free to hang out, do whatever you want to do for as long as you want. And thanks for coming by. So let's pray. And and I want to sing one little song together too. Father, we are so grateful to be here together, to be meeting, like physically seeing each other in the same space, not virtually. God, we are so grateful for this opportunity here. And we pray, God, that you would provide the way through the sea, God, for us to be your people, be on mission, to be seeking you first, to be seeking to be unified with the body, to be seeking the lost and being a witness, God, to be taking care of each other's needs and loving on each other. And God, I pray that you would help us to not give in to fear, to not get our eyes off of you onto the wrong things. I know that's a constant struggle for me, God, but to keep seeking you first in your kingdom, God. And believe that all that we need is going to be added. I pray, God, bless this church. And moving forward from here, may there be a great surge of unity, community, one anothering, God, doing the one another's, the confession, the praying together, the challenging, the letting the words of Christ dwell in us richly, the singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together. And Lord, that we would spur one another on in love and good works and not forsake the gathering together, God. So thank you for this community and getting to be together. We want to live, God. We pray that greater doxology, a greater praise and glorifying to you would come out through this time, God, as you purify and challenge your church and also empower us to be the church. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you guys be cool if we ended with singing the doxology? All right. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen, you guys. We love you. Go in peace. Hang out as long as you want. Thanks for coming.